It is time for another edition of Toast and Jam. And of course, we're not going to have any toast today. We're just going to have jam today. Tim Ose is on the road. He's in Alaska. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised he's listening to the show right now. But Tim Ose gone today. Paul McDonald, I am Jam. We are in our 24th show. And we have our guest in studio. Again, studio 1047, because it's always 1047 in studio here. The clock is stuck at 1047. But Mark Potts is joining us from Valley City Blues 10U, Valley City State University. How you doing?
Good. What do you want to talk about today, Paul? I got lots of good stuff.
We got lots of things. You got lots of hats that we wear. But let's talk about 10U, because you guys are coming off a weekend. You went to Castleton, picked up a tournament championship in Castleton, and it looked like the guys were hitting the ball, and just a fun weekend.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, as you mentioned, it's our 10U VC Blues baseball team here in town, parent-run team. And, yeah, kids really, really showed up this weekend. It's been, I think they outscored the three teams 39-5, Thompson, Jamestown, and Castleton, and you rolled to that tournament championship, their first tournament win in our third attempt here this season. So really fun. It's been the progression of these kids from the start of the year to now has been just super fun to watch and to see them get better and to learn more about baseball and become disciplined baseball players. It's exciting to see. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning coming over here. I think there's 12 kids on our team. Mm-hmm. There's 12 kids on the 12U Blues team. And there's about another 25 kids in the Parks and Rec 10 through 12. Like, we have almost 50 boys playing baseball in that 10 to 12 year. Like, the future is bright for baseball.
It is. And good in quality. These kids are learning. You talk about the progression. I know you, along with Chad Leek and Josh Kosowski, work with the 10Us. And then Jeremy Weeb and Rossberg and TJ Hansen work with the 12Us. Just teaching these guys fundamentals how they're learning the game is really big for you, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, coming up in that Parks and Rec program, they learn the basics of baseball, but not too much beyond that, right? So the first year here it's really the first competitive experience a lot of these kids have seen. And, you know, our first game of the year, we played West Fargo. Their AAA team, so, you know, their highest team. West Fargo, one of the best baseball programs in the state, right? So, and we're a little, okay, what's this going to be like? And we went in, we got beat, you know, both games, but we came out of that like, okay, we're going to be just fine, right? We got athletes on this team that are going to be able to compete, and we have just seen that steady progression up to this weekend where, you know, I told the kids after the game, I think we had 11 kids there. There's 12 on our team. 1 through 12, the progression that we have seen has just been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, if you look back to where we were that first game to now, every kid was hitting the ball this weekend, right? Line drives, hard hit ground balls, things that just create good plays for us. And defensively, we had maybe one bad inning. Besides that, we played clean. We only gave up 5 runs over 3 games. Pitchers were throwing strikes. It's just, it was baseball.
And you talk about the pitchers. How big is it having pitchers that can throw strikes? I think your son Thomas is a catcher. And how big is it for these guys that can throw strikes at this level?
It's huge, right? Yeah, Thomas does pitching and catching and some other stuff. We really rotate guys around quite a bit. We saw it a little bit this weekend, Castleton. They kind of ran out of pitching there. They were our last game after their first guy. They ran out, and it was a struggle for them to throw strikes. And it just really slows the whole game down, slows your defensive rhythm down. Even just as a team that was up big, it was kind of like, let's at least try to hit the ball a little bit. It's everything. If you can throw strikes, then you're going to be a competitive baseball team at this level.
I know that they were on Sam's Field when they were playing, doing Parks and Rec, but now playing competitive ball on Sam's Field, these guys enjoying that?
Yeah, so this group, actually, they played up at Highline Diamonds last year with the Parks and Rec program. So once they hit 10 in the Parks and Rec, then they play in that Three Rivers League on Sam's Field. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for these kids, it's their first time at Sam's Field. I think we've had 6 games at home, and we've hit 3 home runs, so that's always a fun thing.
Yep.
First home run for each guy in their career, so they get a baseball with the date and all that stuff on it. So, and we've got another 3 or 4 home doubleheaders coming up, so I think there'll be some more kids that get them. So it's a cool experience. That's where we practice pretty much every day. When Parks and Rec, obviously, when they have a game and we're just practicing, they take over that field for their game. But it's they enjoy it. When we have to go elsewhere for practice, it's like, come on, coach, or even playing in Castleton, the outfield is 200, 225 feet, right? These kids aren't going to hit a home run over the fence at that distance. So Sam's Field, at least, every team that comes here is like, wow, this is kind of cool. And we know it's a little tight, the dugouts, the home plate area, it's not ideal, and the fences are maybe 10 to 15 feet shorter than we'd like, but it's a really cool setting. You know, credit to the Neskies and Parks and the Valley City Schools and the Baseball Association. They've all kind of contributed to that field and make it a really cool experience. We're fortunate enough. We live very close to the field, right? So my son and I go over there. We play there quite a bit. And we can look out our window and see whenever somebody's over there. And it just gets used by a bunch of different kids in the area, different age groups. And it's really fun to see that get used.
The scoreboard over the right field fence, the old-fashioned scoreboard with kids up on the stand putting the numbers up. It's a nice feel.
How about the major league foul poles? How cool is that for a kid to show up and see that in the scoreboard? Yeah, it all just contributes to a really cool baseball field.
And I love the team is the Blues, and the logo is a note on their hats. Because it's 12U and 10U. Cal Ripken, with the Cal Ripken, of course, everybody remembers last year, the 11U Cal Ripken kids, first year we had one, went on in one state. And that kind of really preceded this and led to this forming of a 10U. And just it's for the kids. It's getting the kids some good competitions. And you have seen some really good teams here this summer.
Yeah, and a huge credit to Josh Kozlowski and Rosberg. They're kind of the masterminds of getting this parent-run organization going. And again, like you said, they started last year with that one team and now expanded it to two teams this year. And talking with them, that's kind of their goal going forward, is to keep a 10U and a 12U where we can hit that ages 9 through 12, right? We'll have two teams in those age groups, and kids can progress through. This is an option if you want to take it more serious in a travel ball situation. And obviously Parks and Rec is also an option. Yep. And they have good numbers there, and they play in a competitive Three Rivers League. So, yeah, it's credit to those guys for getting it going. And it's just, as we talked about earlier, the future of baseball is bright. Yeah. There's so many kids in that youth age group, and it's fun.
It's a fun atmosphere, too. And, looking at your schedule, you talk about it. It's not too long here. What is it? The first, we're 1 month away from the state tournament, which is in Fargo, but still a few more home games for fans want to come over to Sam's Field and watch this group of 10Us.
Yeah, we've really been practicing since about May 1st, somewhere around there. I had some few voluntary practices before that. So we're going on about 2 months of season, about 1 month left. But yeah, coming up July 8th and July 10th, we're at home at Sam's Field against a pair of West Fargo teams. Also July 22nd, July 29th. So we have four more home doubleheaders at Sam's Field if people want to come out and check it out. And then our state tournament, starts August 1st in Fargo. That'll kind of be our wrap-up for the season.
And I know the 12U, they play on the VCSU softball field is where they play up on the softball complex up at Valley City State.
Yeah, Sam's just got too small for those guys.
It was.
Yeah, even last year when they were 11U, they were – they were pushing the boundaries of that field. So,
well, I think someone hit a home run. I don't know if it was a home game from the 12U team here more recently, but and they're 16-11. You guys 12-12. This 3-0 record this weekend got to 500. And for you as coaches, you want to win, but is it more just letting these kids get in competition, learn how to play baseball, and learn how to do it right?
Yeah, for sure. We had a voluntary practice last night, and first couple plays it was a little squirrely. It was like we did a fun scrimmage, right? The first couple plays it got a little squirrely, falling into some bad habits of just running the bases willy-nilly and throwing the ball around. So Coach Chad got into him a little bit, and then they focused up, and at the end of the night Chad and I were like, that was a great practice, because the kids defensively made plays and hit the ball hard, but the defense made plays, and you're competing against each other, so it's a little bit of, was it a good defensive night or a bad offensive night? But at the end of the day, the kids were doing things right, and it's just crisp baseball. That's been really fun. Yeah.
Now you get some time off. You get a little week off before your next game, and then you said July 8th is the next time around at Sam's Field, and you play six-inning games?
Yeah, 2 6-inning games for every doubleheader.
Okay.
We do have a time limit, hour and 15 minutes. So there are some games that don't get the full six. They might go 4 or 5.
And I know I talked with Josh, or Rosberg, actually, and that happened with the 12U. Then we ran out of time, so we have a time limit because there's no lights. So you got to make sure you're done before it gets to a point where I can't see what's going on out
exactly.
there. But no, off to a, 12-12 right now for that 10U team, and look forward to the next, again, you said West Fargo here, and matter of fact, looks like it's West Fargo and Jamestown, your opponents here coming up before things start with the state tournament in Fargo. And do you know where are they going to have the state tournament? Do you know in Fargo?
I don't know for sure.
If they're going to have that at Anderson, or I suppose the softball complex is better because of the distance of the fence, isn't it?
Yeah, so we played in a tournament in West Fargo, mm-hmm. and they have a really complex of, I think, 1 to 7 diamonds, I think, that they play on. Two of those, I think, are kind of legit youth baseball fields. The other are softball deep fences for, like, slow pitch. But then there's another West Fargo park that has a couple diamonds. Rendezvous Park, we've played there a couple times this year. We've also played in, actually, a Fargo park where they had maybe that 225 to 250 fence. Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of options. I haven't heard for sure where they're going to play it, but.
Because I know there is like a little league complex on it's either the south side of town, across from either Fargo South or Fargo North. But I think there is a kind of a complex.
Yeah, we did play that one. It's a little bit south of Fargo South, I believe. Yeah.
So, but we'll have to stay tuned as the season. A month left to go in the season, but we'll see what goes on with the 10U Blues. And again, their next game at Sam's Hill will be coming up here on Monday night, 5:30. They have the doubleheader with the West Fargo team coming in. And check it out. Go on over. And you guys get some great crowds.
Yeah, parents obviously travel well, grandparents, especially when we're in town. It's a pretty cool atmosphere out there at Sam's Field. And it's so tight, right,
yeah,
that everybody is right there. On top
you can hear the hecklers. Well, now one of the other caps that you wear, and it's your main cap, over Valley City State University, and some changes going on out at Lockin Stadium, Shell A-League Field, that folks are going to see come this fall.
Yeah, at Valley City State, I'm the Director for Sports Information and Assistant Athletic Director, and it's exciting summer. Really, the last couple summers, we've made a lot of changes. But, yeah, this year at the football stadium, if you've driven by recently, you've noticed our press box has disappeared at the top of the stadium. They're doing some demolition there, and we are moving some new press boxes in. So mm-hmm. Enterprise in Valley City has built 3 new press boxes for us, and they'll be craned up and attached to the top of the stadium. So there'll be one at each section of Lockin Stadium. And, air conditioning, heat controlled, windows that open. I'm excited.
Oh, there we go. There we go. One level?
Yeah, so there'll be one level all the way across, essentially. We will have a top level, almost like a crow's nest, right? If we need to get high for camera, things
right.
like that.
Yep. I know that was getting up there was kind of interesting, getting up to that, to the crow's nest and getting up top there. But it's a great vantage point that you have there. And it's been kind of cramped. So this was a long time coming to get at this press box.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of harping on it since I've been here about 11 or 12 years. I'm going into my 12th season at VCSU. So, visiting newspaper comes and we don't have spot for them. Visiting radio, if they bring a color guy, it's like shoulder to shoulder in there. So 2 of the new boxes are going to be for media, game operations, coaches' boxes. And then a third one, it's going to be like a suite area, right? We could use it as a presidential suite, maybe it's something that we can rent out. Mm-hmm. You get 20 tickets, a suite, maybe some food and drinks, things like that. So a chance to give people a different experience at a VCSU football
game. And, of course, in 2025, we'll be seeing a new conference. We're going to be in a new conference. So that's exciting, too. We talk about what an interesting summer it's been. The next couple seasons are going to be really fun for VCSU.
Yeah, the last year of the North Star coming up this season, I think it was formed in 2013, a couple years after the DAC fell apart. A bit of an end of an era, but most of the teams in the North Star will be going with us to the Frontier, so it'll end up being almost like a half-and-half, east-and-west type situation. A lot of Montana schools, obviously, in the Frontier now, and then be kind of the Dakota schools and Bellevue on the east side. It's a big change, though. The Frontier is, especially in football, they're a nationally competitive conference, right? Yep. They get a couple teams into the playoffs usually, and they're always in the hunt. I know we've played Carroll College in the playoffs many years ago. I think the last time was probably 2014. But they've gotten the better of us every time in the playoffs, so we know that our level has to be raised, not just in football, but all sports, basketball, volleyball. They've been nationally competitive as well. So it's a commitment from our campus, from our leadership on campus. There's going to be some changes to help make us, keep us up, I guess, in the Frontier, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And it was kind of I don't want to say your hand was forced, but when teams like Viterbo and Waldorf exit. Well, now you're down, of course, for Turbo didn't have football, but you're kind of down numbers. So if you want to get that automatic berth, if you want to be a true football conference, you got to get more teams. And so that's really kind of what precipitated this move.
Yeah, in the NAI, you need six teams in a sport in your conference to retain an automatic bid to nationals, which obviously that is the end goal for a lot of people, right? Let's get to the national tournament. Let's make a run at nationals, right? So if you lose that, it's a tough sell on recruiting and your program of what do we plan for, right? So, yeah, we dropped down. Essentially, we're going to be five members. Jamestown, what they were going through, they have a one-year transition before they go to Division II. So it was kind of a they needed a home and we needed another school. So we got them for this year to extend it for one more year while we figured out our future, which, as we now know, is the Frontier Conference coming up in 25-26. So yeah, one more year in the North Star, and then it's off to the frontier and making a few more long road trips. But as we said, the Dakota schools all going together, it's going to help cut down on that. We'll see some familiar opponents and, you know, some opponents like us in Montana, right? Yep. Those are some like-minded schools and fans over there compared to us. So.
And I know we played a lot of those Montana schools. I think it was basketball went to Northern Montana, or went to Montana State Northern for tournaments. So it's not going to be teams we haven't seen before, but it's going to be interesting. One thing I find interesting too in football, there's a team in Arizona. you know, it's yes, it's Montana based conference, but I think there's two other states involved in football.
Yeah. So. Right, their core group of schools with six full-time membership is Montana. But then, yeah, they have four, I believe, actually it's going to be up to
14, I think.
We're going to have to 14 football schools when we join.
Yeah.
Because there'll be four of us coming. Yeah, so they have four non-Montana football schools. There's one in Oregon, I believe. A new one just joined California. Yep. And then you mentioned the Arizona one. There are some long road trips on the football side of things,
right.
That's for sure. It'll be interesting, but as we mentioned, you know, with the scheduling, that many teams, you're not going to play everybody every year, right? So I think you really have one really long road trip every year, and then the rest will be bus road trips that are doable. So,
and I know that there was talk that not every team in this conference had baseball or softball, so that was always a thought, too. Where are we at in, as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, so the five North Star schools coming all have baseball and softball. So really, we just need one more school that will have baseball and softball. If you look, there's some different ideas of what's going to happen. Yeah. But, you know, I know there's talk of there's maybe one or two Frontier schools that are talking about adding baseball and softball, which would get us to six. There's potential other school that might join in the future, the conference, and they would have baseball, softball. So we do think once we get to that year when we start, there's going to be a path to have six full-time or six baseball and softball schools, and we'll retain that automatic bid to nationals. If not, then there you can always go the independent route in those sports, join up with some other independent institutions, and essentially you make a conference for baseball and softball and have a year-end tournament with two or three auto bids to nationals out of that, depending on the amount of schools. So there's a path forward for those teams, but we do think it will be a conference in the conference.
I know with football here in the towards with the North Star, we've been playing teams in the conference twice just to get your games in.
Yeah.
You won't have to worry about that now with 14 teams in the Frontier when you go in here in a couple of years.
Yeah, it'll put a lot more emphasis on that one meeting, right? Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I haven't seen, you know, I think they're still working through some of the scheduling of how that's going to work. But, yeah, I think we'll probably play a lot of our close schools once every year and then some of those farther schools every other year or something like that.
And Bellevue, I don't think, has football.
Correct, yeah.
So they'd be the one team that does not have football. And so you got Mayville State, Dakota State, Bellevue, Dickinson State, and Valley City State are the five North Star teams that are moving to the West. It's an exciting time. I mean, the landscape of college athletics, not just NAI, but, I mean, when you've got UCLA, USC playing in the Big Ten now, I'm like, well, no, this is no.
You say exciting. I'm not sure that's exciting. That's a little, like,
different.
Head-scratching, right?
Yeah. It was even head-scratching when Penn State came to the Big Ten, but now we got teams in California coming to the Big Ten. But as far as all the other sports, you know, and VCSU has always been right up there in competitiveness. And some great success. Now it'll be fun to see what they do at that next level with, well, it's still NEI, but with the new conference.
Yeah. And, you know, as we mentioned, we're focused on this year first, the North Star, right?
Yep.
One more year. Let's go out with a bang, win some conference championships, make it to the national tournament, make a run. You know, I think we start things up September 10th, our first home volleyball match. We host Concordia College. That game's going to be played at the bubble. Mm-hmm. We're open for a big crowd for that season opener. And then I think September 21st, first home football game, homecoming for the university. We also have some volleyball matches that week. So those two sports are really kind of the big fall sports for us, and they get going. So mark those calendars, September 10th for Viking volleyball, 21st for football. And another exciting thing, we're hosting the cross-country conference championships this year. Those will be in early November, and I believe we're in talks to have those out at Bjornsen Park Golf Course. Mm-hmm. They'll run them out there. So that'll be a first for us, hosting the conference cross-country meet.
And I know our first two non-conference football games are Thursday and a Friday night.
Yeah, at Minot State and what's that school?
It's Augsburg, in Minneapolis.
Yep, there you go, yep. Yeah, so those will be at nighttime football to open up. A little bit cooler in August and September at least, but those are always fun experiences for the guys.
And coming off volleyball, what a great year for Michelle Mickeljohn, her first year for volleyball, 23-11, go to the national tournament. And again, this is something I harped on when I was talking with our sportscasters and sports writers. This was a roster of North Dakota kids that she does this with. I think we had Rush from Oregon, maybe one from, and Saskatchewan, Scutching from Saskatchewan. But this is a North Dakota team that she did this with. And that's got to make you as a North Dakota native, hey, we got some pretty good athletes in this state that can do. And you look at what our tracksters did. All of our tracksters went national, our North Dakota kids.
Yeah, and give credit where credit is due. I think, you know, Jamestown College and coach over there, they really set the blueprint where you can have national success with North Dakota volleyball players. And, you know, our previous coach, Bridget Graywater, really bought into that. She recruited North Dakota heavy. And so when Michelle came in, she had that roster, a few additions. And, yeah, they clicked last year, right? They made it work. Mm-hmm. Those kids are some good volleyball players, and it's fun to watch. And, you know, I think we graduated two seniors, but everybody else is planning to come back with a few additions. So it's looking to be another exciting year of Viking volleyball.
And we'll have a few games at the bubble. Integration, obviously, is the home. But you'll have a few, I think, when Mayville State comes in. And you said the first match with Concordia.
Yeah, I believe it's September 10th against Concordia, and then I think it's September 18th and maybe the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever our Mayville and Jamestown home matches are, those will be at the bubble as well, anticipating larger crowds. And yeah, you mentioned exciting times. We've got a bit of a facelift going on inside the bubble as well. I know some people have probably been in there, but a major paint job inside the gym. Part of it's done, and we're finishing up the next week. I believe we're supposed to have some more painters in to finish that off. So we're excited to show that off, and we'll be pushing that on social media here later in July once we get the project done and show off that new look inside the bubble.
And, of course, new look, we're going to have a new building in in a few years, too, right off the bubble.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the capital campaign committee heavily involved in that, but all signs point to we are very close to getting that project started, and game changer for our university.
Yeah.
A huge, you know, an indoor multi-purpose practice facility that, you know, it's going to be booked. It's going to be booked up in those winter months and, you know, throughout a lot of the year. And I think we'll find a way, right, to open up to the community at some point is the goal. And to we'll have to work through all those issues of when VCSU needs it, when we can open it up, and can we rent it out? Can we play softball in there? Things like that.
Right.
So, that's something we sorely need in this community, and it's close. It's very close.
The landscape, not just the physical landscape, but the overall landscape of Valley City State Athletics is getting a facelift here over the next couple of years, 2-3 years.
Yeah, very exciting. You know, we've seen some changes slowly progress, and we've got a lot more in the works, I guess, if you want to say it that Dennis McCulloch, our athletic director, working with the foundation and campus leadership on some ideas to move us forward and to bring us to that next level.
How about hockey? No, we won't go there. We don't need to do that. We don't need to start that rumor that we're going to have hockey too. But Mark, normally summer's downtime for you. You've probably been busier than normal with this summer.
Yeah, summer, you know, for sports information, we do a lot of our record stuff in the summer, so updating record books from the previous year, going on our website, rewriting player bios for everyone based on what they did, awards they received, stats they accomplished, all that type of stuff. So really, to me, that's kind of our first half of the summer. And then once we hit about this point, then it's we're gearing up for the next year already. Mm-hmm. You know, athletes usually report late July, early August, so we start having some photo days. So I got about one more month of kind of downtime, but
downtime.
With some of these big projects that we have in works, it's been a lot of work for that as well.
Yeah, you and Kara Bodine, your assistant and your staff, it's fun as in sports information because you have a lot to talk about. I mean, you have a lot to write about and get out there. And if people want to know more what's going on with Valley City State University Athletics, vccshowvikings.com, that's the place to go.
It is, yeah. Schedules, scores, photos, highlight videos, all that stuff kind of lives there. Obviously, you can find most of it on our social media accounts as well. VCSU Vikings on Facebook, Twitter, VCSU Athletics on YouTube, VCSU Athletics on Instagram. So we're out there invisible and... yeah, it's you're right. There's a lot going on. There's 200 plus games every year that we get to cover, and obviously 250 to 300 athletes that we do stuff for as well. So,
well, we're looking forward to it. Just a month and a half, and we are talking the first football game here in August when they head to Minot State and renew that old DAC 10 rivalry, if you will, with the Beavers, and then Augsburg, and then September 10th or September 21st,
September 21st,
the first home
football,
game.
Yep. Homecoming for Valley City State. That whole week we've got some volleyball matches in town, and then you know football on the weekend, obviously all the other homecoming festivities. We'll have Hall of Fame, parade, a bunch of fun weekends. So if you're a Viking alumni, I plan to be around that weekend.
I'll definitely be there, even though I'm not an alum. It's my second home now at Valley City State.
You're going to enjoy that new press box, Paul.
I'm thinking, you know, when I saw that you put on Facebook that the old one was coming down, because I had mixed emotions with radio and then doing the PA, I'm thinking, maybe we'll get a little space now. I like that.
It won't quite be shoulder to shoulder, yeah. You're going to be able to open that window in front of you. We're going to hear the ref mic now.
That's the best part. Yep. You don't have to pull things. Are we going to have the shades pulled down so it's not so bright in there?
We might have to buy some shades for
you. We're looking forward to it. It's always a great time over Valley City State. And Mark, appreciate you joining us today because I know you're a busy man. But, hey, you got some time off. You can use some family time this week, right?
Yeah, taking Wednesday and Friday off. So
there you go.
You know, plan it right. Get a nice 5-day weekend and enjoy some time with my son, my daughter, my wife, and some friends in town. So it'll be a good time. But, yeah, we appreciate all you do, Paul. Obviously, you know, you have this job. But and I don't know if people know, but you're involved in a lot for the college as far as a PA announcer, a fill-in radio video broadcaster for us. You do a lot of the baseball stuff in town, broadcasting. So we appreciate all you do for athletics.
I think I lived at the ballpark here for a stretch. There was a game every night this past week at Charlie Brown. But so they have a cot there that I use if I need to. You know the routine. When you're busy, it's like, wasn't I just here?
We had last night at home and looked at my wife as like, we have two nights in a row with nothing. Like, what is this? When did this happen? You know?
Wait a minute.
Who are you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. well, Mark, again, I appreciate it. We look forward to this fall, and we'll see you at the ballpark at Charlie Brown or at Sam's Field here next Monday night.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate
it. You bet. That is Mark Potts joining us from Valley City State University. And just a kind of reminder, this is Toast and Jam minus the toast today. And, of course, we're brought to you by Jimmy's Pizza. Don't forget to stop into Jimmy's Pizza and take in, dine out, 845-1234. That's an easy number to remember, 845-1234. North Dakota National Guard, also one of our sponsors. Again, if you have not decided what you want to do when you grow up, well, I tell you what, the North Dakota National Guard, they will pay for your schooling and give them a call at 490-1022 at the North Dakota National Guard. And trivia. Now, I got to find last week's question, Mark, and see if you can answer last week's trivia question that we had. I'll see if I have it here. I didn't think I'd have it. I grabbed the wrong piece of paper. That's okay. But here's a trivia question for this week brought to you by Nodak Mutual Insurance, Chris Quilvang. Chris Quilvang did a lot of stuff for Valley City State.
Big supporter for us, yeah.
Big supporter, and of course, have had his daughter Addie will be going there coming up this fall. But he is the sponsor of our trivia question, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do for trivia? Well, the Olympics start here in July 11th, so in 10 days, I believe. Or no, end of July. August 11th is when it ends. Here is an Olympic trivia question. Here's our Olympic question. And again, just go to toastandjam.com and answer our trivia question. If you get it right, you get yourself a medium pizza from Jimmy's Pizza. What country has competed the most times in the Summer Olympics and has yet to win a gold medal? I'll probably do some multiple guests on our website. But again, what country has competed in the Summer Olympics the most and has yet to win a gold medal?
You know, I can read upside down, Paul. So I
can you read upside down?
I did see the answer.
Did you see the answer? Yeah. Oh,
I'll,
man.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
Okay, okay. Well, maybe I'll give it to you next week. Well, now, did you know the Summer Olympics are in L.A. in 4 years?
I did. That one I did know, yeah.
So they're in Paris coming up this year, and then they'll be in Los Angeles Cup in 2028.
Based in L.A.
Based right. in
I
L.A.
I understand there's going to be a lot of stuff around the country.
There's
as
a few
well,
things so going on that, yeah. that they're going to have to be in Anaheim, and they're going to be all over the state of California. But that's in 4 years. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Toast and Jam here. Again, Mark Pott's been our guest. Toast will be back. I don't know if he might be back next week. He's in Alaska. I'm going to have to see if he had any polar bear stories when he comes back.
Bringing you back some fresh fish?
Maybe? I hope so. I told him I love salmon. Okay. So bring me back some Alaska salmon, and we'll talk about it maybe next week on the show. But Toast will be back again next week. Mark Potts has been our guest here this week. And again, toastandjam.com, or you can go to valleycitytimesrecord.com and find us on Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We'll talk to you again next week. Toast and Jam here on from Studio 1047.